What's up, everybody? This is Mario, and welcome back to another episode of Talking Endurance and Mastery. And today, I'm very excited to share my recent interview with Luke Wendlandt. So Luke is a father of four, a husband, an entrepreneurial visionary, and a Minnesota native. And he is someone that I am grateful to now call a friend. And Luke has an amazing and powerful story where he talks about how 15 years ago, he struggled with daily panic attacks, no identity, and zero purpose. But he used that to go on and found North Star Behavioral Health, which provides services focusing on supporting individuals diagnosed with stimulant use disorder and opioid use disorder, and also founding a company called Cadre, which has a goal to impact a million people through their all-inclusive mental health, wellness, and human optimization platform, which I have personally used, and I think it's amazing. And in today's episode, you will learn the best question to ask at a networking event or your next team meeting to build authentic relationships, how to turn your biggest struggles into your powerful mission, how to authentically live out your values, the top three traits that he looks for in the best employees, and how he ran 107.6 miles by not giving his pain a voice. This episode is jam-packed with actionable strategies, but it's also got a lot of soul. And so I'm very excited for you to listen to it. So first, I am going to roll the trailer, and then we're going to get into it. Do you want to complete an endurance event and elevate all areas of your life, but you don't know where to start? Then you're in the right place. Talking Endurance and Mastery is a podcast to help you create a vision and take steps towards your goals and dreams. I'm your coach, Mario Minner. I've completed events like Ironmans and ultramarathons, but I believe the true benefit from endurance events is how they help you become the best version of yourself. Join me as I share stories, lessons, and interview guests to help you apply endurance and mastery principles into every area of your life. Are you ready? Let's go. All right, Luke, super excited to have you on the show. Welcome, man.
So great to be here, Mario. Thanks for having me, man.
Awesome. So there's a lot of different places that we could start with this, but when I think about you, like I think about somebody who is able to quickly make connections. And that just stems from the first time that we talked. You asked me this question or a series of questions that made me cry and it made me connect to you like so quickly. So can you describe what the Triple H is and how you've used it?
Yes. First, Mario, thank you so much for having me. The Triple H is a question and answer that actually my wife developed back in the day that I utilize in business all the time. And it's an awesome way to connect with people and just kind of bring their guard down a little bit and go, whoa, I never thought about it like that, right? And here's an example. So when my wife has all the kids come back to school, she's an educator for the last 18 years. So in sixth grade, fourth grade, whatever year she's teaching, she'll always have them answer the Triple H. And it's a way to build community, really, like I said, bring the guard down of other individuals in your Triple H, right? Who's your hero? What's your heartache? Or what was your hardship? And what was your highlight? So she always does it specifically over the summer. Right. So, and you know, number one, like who's been the hero of your summer? What was the hero of your life? And what's the highlight of your summer? And what was your heartache? And it's just this amazing way for all the kids to connect and talk about their summer. But what I found in doing this with business, networking, relationships, or otherwise, it just leans into this awesome way to connect and really just bring people together. And so it's something I've been doing for years as a leader that's just delved into these amazing conversations and now connections. We're now like, Mario, we did this together, right? Do you want to share yours?
Sure. Hit me with it. Which okay. One do you want me to start with?
Let's go with who's your hero?
I think my hero is the same answer that I gave before. And my hero right now is my wife, Emily. And that's because she has been so supportive through my whole life, but really with me pursuing and going after my dreams and really going for it recently in the past 3 weeks. I don't know if I told you this, I'm now full-time as an entrepreneur. I took that leap and I wouldn't have been able to do that without the support of my wife, Emily. And so she's my hero, definitely. This is something that I've been pretty open about. Like I've been building towards this for 3 to 4 years. And the closer that I got to it, the more scared I got. And then once I made that decision, everybody was, you know, really happy for me and really excited. But the main emotion that I felt was a little bit of fear and then also sadness. And I've been able to get through that in the first couple of days and week and shift into that creative, like, excitement and energy. And I think a huge part of that is the support of my wife and knowing that no matter what happens with this business, I know that I have the support and the love from her.
Well, I've no doubt you're going to be successful, and I love the story. But next question I have is, you know, you can read all the books, listen to all the podcasts, connect with all the individuals that done it before, but is there anything that leaning into theory versus the practice of actually doing it that has resonated with you?
Yeah. I mean, I think, like, the biggest thing that I think about with situations like this is not just focusing on the fear, but then also shifting into the benefits of taking that action and also the costs of inaction. And this is a concept like Tim Ferriss has talked about with fear setting. And I think a lot of us are so conditioned to think about just the fears, and we don't think about those other sides, like the benefits. Like, what are the positive benefits of going all in on your business? You know, you have the time freedom, you're pursuing your mission, you're positively impacting people, and also the cost of inaction. So am I going to miss out on if I don't take this next step over 6 months, 1 year, 3 years, et cetera? So, like, that's just one theory that I've actually put into practice that has been super helpful for me. But I'm going to flip it back to you. Like, do you have a hero right now, or who would that be?
Oh, gosh. You know, you and I are on the exact same page yet again. And it's weird that it's same name. Emily, my wife, she's everything to me. Obviously, my wife, my biggest supporter, my advocate, the individual that, back to you said about going after your big dreams. She allows me to be me. She allows me to be me when I struggle. She allows me to be me when I'm successful. She allows me to be when I hurt. And she is there on the best of days and the worst of days. And she picks me up. But she also wants me, like, when I'm on a big run, for example, maybe it's I'm sure we'll talk about this later on the 107 miler, but she's the one that'll send me the text message that says, just keep going, honey. Just keep going. You're built for this. And she does the same thing in business. Right. So let's say I'm going really, really hard a week. She'll be the first one to send me a message to say, I got home. We got you. Go do your thing. And to have that level of, like, comfort to know that she's saying, go make it happen, honey. Right. And I liken it always to my wife has that Vanessa Bryant to her. Mm-hmm. Vanessa Bryant always said, you know, to Kobe, if you're going to be away from me, if you're going to be away from these kids, you better go win. You better go win. Like, you better go. Like, if you're going to spend 20 years playing basketball and you're going to be gone 9 months of those years, you better go win a championship. And that's my wife. She's like, you better go realize your big dreams. You better go lean into your passions. You better take over those missions that you have in your heart and your soul and that lights you up, and have the kids see this and inspired and motivated by it. You better go. That's what I try to do. And she leans into that all the time with me, which is really exciting.
I think that that's one thing that I've learned on my journey. And it's that, really, it's the love from the people around you, but also the self-love that you have. When you develop that, then you're almost free to just really play big and go after it. Because then it doesn't really matter, like, the result of whatever you're going after. If that's an ultra marathon, if that's starting a podcast, starting a business, or going after it, the outcome doesn't determine, like, if you're loved or not. And to have that support and that love almost frees you up to do that. So it seems like it's similar for you as well.
Mario, my wife loved me with 10 cents seven and a half years ago, starting a company and putting everything, like, literally all in. And my wife loved me more than anything in the world, and we had nothing. You know, 7.5 years later, still share the same love. You know, now it's just picking and choosing, you know, what we do next, but we do it together. And so it's a beautiful thing when you have that foundation in the toughest time of your life, because when things are good, you find ways to say, how can we give away more? right? What, how can we give out? How can we volunteer? How can we support? How can we do X, Y, Z? You know, Itzler always talks about if you're an asshole with nothing, you're going to be an even bigger one with more. If you're a giver with nothing, you're going to be even a bigger giver and even a bigger philanthropist when you have abundance. Mm-hmm. And so my wife and I really want to lean into that.
That's amazing. Maybe that's a good segue, even just connecting or hearing more about your story, because in doing research on it, like I came across some of your blog posts about this, and even, you know, you said something along the lines of 15 years ago, my life was spiraling out of control, divorced, baby boy, grad school, new job, moved, fired from job, panic attacks, new job. And of course, quit the new job coupled with a drinking problem. Not the best recipe for success. I had no identity and zero purpose. And so like, it's really crazy to me to know that that was your past, because all that I've known you is the way that you're living now with mm-hmm. this big mission, actively living out your purpose, like taking on big challenges. So can you take us back to that time and tell me a little bit more about your story and ultimately what helped you work through that?
That's right. That's all true, right? That everything that you just said is absolutely a facts and it's truth. And I lived through it. I remember sitting in tubs, like literally having anxiety and panic attacks, wondering if this is ever going to stop. I remember sitting in parking lots, you know, places that I worked where I would listen to my boy, Michael Seely on repeat, right on YouTube, repeat, just trying to find ways to calm my nerves, living in fight or flight all the time. And what I found, it's just what I found, is you have your behaviors, you have your emotions, you have your mental health, and then you have maybe substances, et cetera, on the right. And coupled together, it can be just this vicious equation for your central nervous system, for processing, for it's just, like I said, you're kind of always in this fight or flight, right? So let's say, for instance, you start removing the substances. Before you know it, now you can say, I've eliminated that problem. That problem I've eliminated, right? Like, so alcohol for me, like I eliminated that, but my anxiety was still really high. I mean, truly really high, right? I said, I got that out of the way, but let's figure out this. And when I started to figure out this, and I started to actually understand what gave me anxiety, talking about it, understanding it. And I started going to the lab of reading all the books, you know, my boy, Dan Harris, 10% happier, right? Figuring out like, wow, there's other people like me that have anxiety and panic attacks in the biggest stages. Kevin Love, right? I mean, when they started talking about some of these experiences that they had, I looked at my wife and I was like, that's me. Mm-hmm. But that is literally what they're talking about, is how what I live almost every single day. Because it was daily that I would have a panic attack, no doubt about it. You just didn't know when it was going to happen. There's this volcano that was brewing. And you can feel it, and your worries would just go, and you try to do everything, right? Write down my worries, do this, take the time, breathing, whatever, right? Until you were able to calm it to the point that you could speak to actually your anxiety. Like you could actually speak to it and say, not today. Like not today. Like this isn't the time for this. And you could calm it. You could find ways to actually do that. And for me, I think it was calming alcohol for years and years and years, coupled with starting to eat right, starting to take the right steps in my health and nutrition, getting the right appropriate sleep, understanding my stressors, figuring out business, my life, where I want to go, purpose, pleasure, pain, my why, all the things. And when you start to really align your life with what you love and what you believe you're put on this planet for, right, Mario? I mean, back to your like what you're doing and why you're going all in on your business and yourself and your future mm-hmm. is what I did to me. I bet on myself. I am so in love and inspired by the mission to get to support another and work with other individuals that maybe are a little bit like me. End of story. It was so much bigger than me. And I started to figure it out slowly but surely. Right. And when you start combining all those things together, like I said, business, family, life, spirituality, health, it's not a one-trick pony, brother. It's not. I cannot stress this enough. If you, the healthiest, all you do is run, and you have problems with what you eat, you hate your work, you can't stand your personal life with your wife or otherwise, you can run all you want, but you're not going to be really successful in the other buckets of life. And for me, I had to fill up every one of those. And so that's the journey that I took. And it was painful and it was hard and it was difficult, but I would go back to the well any day of the week to figure out this today, standing before you here, Mario, at 42 years. I would go right back and do it all over again, right? But that's where I am today. And I'm proud of that. I have a son that's 9 years old, general anxiety. I have an 8-year-old, general anxiety. I have a 14-year-old that's in therapy, right? Anxiety doesn't fall too far from the tree, right? My 6-year-old has not been diagnosed, but my other three have, right? And we talk about it together all the time already. And I was like, what if I had parents that talked feelings, that talked about anxiety, that, hey, you know, that test that you're freaked out about at 15, let's discuss that. Let's unpack that together. I never had that, right? My parents, farmers, raised, you know, second immigration, German descent, right? Like, we don't talk feelings. Heck, I don't think my dad talked about, I love you, right? that wasn't something that was on the table for us. But what is I can make those changes to ensure that my kids know that I'm right there for them. We talk about, you know, AA meetings. We talk about, you know, what decisions mom and dad make without alcohol. We talk about anxiety. We talk about this. And I want to let them know that these are normalized conversations in our life, in our family, that we're going to discuss. And we can go there. Nothing is off the table. My kids always ask, like, Dad, can I tell you something? This is my response every time. You can tell me anything whenever you want about anything. Anything.
That's good.
Dad, can I tell you? You can tell me anything. This is my literally what I respond to him every single time. You can tell me anything, anytime.
I think that just creates such an opening, like a warm opening space for them to talk about their feelings. And I just want to acknowledge you for telling your story, because like you said, with some of those other athletes, NBA athletes, professional athletes coming out and talking about the mental health challenges and the struggles that they have just makes it much more common, much more normal to talk about. And I think that there's a ton of power in you for telling that story. I just admire you for that. It sounds like it wasn't obviously just one thing. There was all of these different factors that you worked on and you put together. And it has also led to you having this powerful mission and this powerful why now to share those things that you're learning and to share that with other people. So can you talk to me about how do you take your story, your struggles, and all of those things and use it as something that can actually fuel you moving forward to help other people?
That's right. Well, great question. And number one, kind of, you know, rewinding for 1 second, you know, you talk about like stacking habits. Yeah. You know, I just look at my life, like I got a penny a day. Did I put my penny in the good jar or the bad jar? Like, did I put my penny over here for good? Or did I put my penny over here and did I waste it? Right. And how many pennies are you end up with your life? I want to have a lot more over on this one than this one. You know, unfortunately, for a while though, some of my pennies are in the wrong jar and I've shifted them. And I cannot tell you, Mario, a day in the last 7 years that my pennies haven't gone to the good one. And why is because, you know, I built a business that leans into all the things that matter to me. All right. So let's talk about North Star Behavioral Health real quick. So I started a company where we help individuals with opioid use disorder and still use disorder. And it's been a privilege and an honor of mine, you know, over the last 7.5 years to be involved with that organization. It's amazing. They're doing wonderful things. I'm so proud of that organization and that company doing the hard work. I mean, that's really, really difficult work, is helping individuals. You know, you see our opiate problem, you know, with heroin and fentanyl in our country, and knowing that our group signs up every single day to fight that fight, I think is just admirable. So that's number one, like, so a good penny to good use. Number two, you know, I started an organization about 2 years ago. I had this thought through my head, like, how can we help people at scale, right? Mm-hmm. You know, mental health and wellness, overall wellness, like how can we truly help at scale? And that's where Cadre was born, right? So we developed this amazing app with my partners, my team. Imagine TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube kind of all into one, but only from individuals that are wellness experts that lived real experience, Cadre, connecting and delivering real experiences, coupled with the definition of cadre, which is a group of people specially designed for a purpose, right? A group of people trying to help others. It's a military term, right? My cadre, my team, my group. And so we wanted to develop that feeling when you come on the app that there's a people there for you, whether it's spirituality that you struggle with, whether it's with mental health and wellness, whether it's trauma, grief, loss, substance abuse, all the things, that big, big bucket, financial success or lack thereof in somebody's life. You know, we want to be there for any and all things in your life that we can help support. So we are just rolling out to market, and really quickly, we achieved our first 1,000 users. We achieved our first paying customer. We achieved some really, really big things. And now we have a large EAP system that we signed up that has almost 1 million members, which is really exciting.
That's amazing.
Yeah, rolling out to. And so our goal is to help 1 million people. And so that's our purpose. It has nothing to do with financial success. Just how many people can we help? How many people can we roll on the app? And everything else will work out with it. But the most important thing to me is we get a group of people that are bought into our mission, our vision, our values of what Cadre is and why it's been built. And we align that messaging to the rest of the global world of those individuals that sign up. So we are just, again, privileged and honored to be a part of this mission to help change people's lives. And I'm jacked about it, man, more than anything.
Well, I downloaded the app yesterday. I created an account. I played around with it. I went on a live stream, and it's amazing. And it's so needed in the workplace, because I worked for 10 years as a product manager at an ed tech startup, you know, kind of high stress, competitive environment. And that can weigh on you. And luckily I was able to just find some tools with exercise and training and meditation. And I had coaches. I have my wife obviously as that support system, but I know a lot of people don't have that. And so right. I love that you guys are trying to make that coaching and wellness content accessible to people in the workplace. And I think that it is so needed. The app is like really well designed, and it looks really world-class, honestly.
I think
you guys have done an amazing job with it.
I appreciate that. You know, just think of how amazing it is to think that you could go to, let's just liken it to Instagram or YouTube, right? And yeah, you know, please, it's not Mr. Beast, but right? Imagine Mr. Beast on YouTube that you could actually select and pick like book now for coaching.
Yeah.
That's what we've developed. So our team of creators, wellness experts that live, eat, and breathe their real experiences, what they went through. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's trauma, grief, loss. Maybe it's eating disorders. Maybe it's self-care, meditation, whatever it is to find themselves and their passion and their love. You can actually book them right through the app. And I just think that's a game changer in the market.
Yeah. And I think that the content is one piece of it, but there's the live streams. And then there's obviously the coaching for that ongoing relationship. So I think that it's just a really, really strong concept, and it's really needed. So here's one thing that I'm curious about, because one thing that as I'm hearing you describe, like the mission and the purpose and the impact and impacting 1 million people and helping them work through all of the challenges that you have, I'm thinking about those same things with my own business in the early stages. So one of the things that I'm thinking about is kind of what is the bigger impact of my own company? What is the real challenge that I want to help people overcome? And as I've been reflecting on it, I think like my company exists to help people overcome and destroy self-doubt so that they can be like show up as their best authentic selves and then go out and create whatever it is that they were designed to create. And so it's not as like tangible as, you know, helping somebody overcome an opioid addiction or something like that. And I'm just curious, like, what are a few things that I should be thinking about as I'm thinking about long-term mission, long-term purpose, values in the early stages of my own company?
Mario, you're not going to like my answer, but I disagree with you. I think you have the best example that you can give anybody, which is yourself. You have the ultimate example. You're living it. You're living, eating, and breathing exactly what you're telling somebody else to coach them through. To do, right? Like you just talked about this 30 minutes ago, doubt with your fears, with everything that with your wife. There is no better, this is just my own opinion, man, no better example than somebody who's doing it.
Yeah.
Why is David Goggins having 4+ million followers? Why was it the number one independently self-published book of all time? Why does Jesse Itzler always succeed and win over and over again with every company and business he starts? Why does Cameron Haynes win? Why does Courtney Dullwater? Why is because they live it. They live it. They live into who they are. Because in the world that we live in today, Mario, anybody can be anybody on any given day, and they can show up away on LinkedIn, on Instagram, on whatever. You are living it. And I would argue that is the best medicine for anybody because they believe it. It's authentic. It's real. It's vulnerable. It's raw. It's all the things. And there's nothing you can do to manipulate or translate that any other way than doing exactly how you're doing it. And your team, as you continue to build your team, as you continue to build your business, will feel that and believe in you because of that. Don't ever forget that.
I love that. I'm so glad. This is why I love having these conversations, is because these are things that I'm actively working through, and I really want to learn from you. I admire you. I admire the way that you're showing up and living your values. And as I reflect on it, like, yeah, I am doing it as well. I'm doing it every day. Right. It's just almost this perception that you need to have like this bigger, like tangible purpose. So that's why I asked that question. Yeah. But I think I really appreciate your answer.
I'm sorry. I interrupt there. I truly apologize. What I was trying to say is there's obviously core business vision, goals and KRAs and all those other things. Like most businesses operate off those, right? Our results in line, as our goals in line, does our quarterly objectives meet strategically, all the things. But it really comes down to this, just what I believe. Transformational leadership at its very core, from the individuals at the top that are leading their business, you either believe in them or you don't, of running a company, successful or lack thereof. And if you look at the head of the snake, do you believe it?
Mm-hmm.
Gab Wireless, I believe it. Why? He lives into his mission every single day. Nate Randall, he's one of the best in the world at this. Gab Wireless guy, Cotopaxi guy, right? Dave Smith, they live it. Dave Smith is walking away from Cotopaxi to go on a mission trip for 2 to 3 years with his wife and give back.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's showing him living out his purpose, even outside of the thing that he created to pursue that purpose.
Bingo.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a great example of it.
Right. Jesse Itzler. Is there anything he does that's not living out his values, why he's doing what he's doing? And he shares it. And the beautiful part about him is he's the most generous, humble human being I've ever met in my entire life. And I was very fortunate and blessed to actually meet him. What a wonderful way to actually combine business with your personal mission and values. And those people that do that, man, in today's game, the game of business has evolved so much in the last 30 years. It's coming down to, do I live, eat, and breathe what I'm doing and the values of the organization aligning with my personal values? Mm-hmm. And if you can do both, watch out. You're unstoppable. And I believe that as deep in my core as I ever.
I love that. And I think that's why I'm so drawn to you and really look up to the way that you live, because it's clear that you live your values as well. And one of the things that you've put out there and talked about is your traits that you look for in leaders, and even some of your own core values being grit, growth mindset, and attitude. And so are those still your core values and kind of your keys to that transformational leadership? And tell me about that.
One of the greatest questions of all time. I love it so much. If I'm starting a company, the number one thing I'm looking for, the number one thing is, could that individual ultimately start a business on their own someday? Do they have the right attitude? Do they have the grit? Do they have the work ethic? Do they have the passion, the purpose, right? Because my dream in growing companies is not to build people to having roles and responsibilities here. Every single person I want here, I want them to lean into opportunities to grow and knock through that ceiling, right?
Yeah.
To push people outside of their comfort zone. And I get it. I may rub some people the wrong way. I totally understand that. Not everybody's going to be a Luke fan, and that's okay. But I want to be able to push people so when they get to the point with me, they know that I have the best intentions at heart for them, that I want to see them extend themselves, grow outside of that comfort zone, push themselves. There's no better call you'll ever get in your life than when somebody calls you and says, Luke, I did it. I'm like, did what? I started my own company. And I've had that, Mario, in 7.5 years, 5 times.
Wow.
Yeah. From people that have worked for me, worked with me, because I just want to keep growing and expanding to make sure individuals can outkick their coverage in life. That's what I want to continue to do.
That's so amazing.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, realizing their potential, you know, even if it comes down to running a 5K, running a 30 mile, running whatever, like, people can do unthinkable things if they believe it in themselves.
I 100% believe in that. And that's where I just think that there's so much power in challenging yourself in a physical endurance race, because when you sign up for something hard, it scares you. There's that self-doubt. You're not really sure if you can do it. You put the work in, you train, you overcome obstacles, you end up succeeding. And when you do that in a physical realm, you then realize, whoa, if I can do that, then what else am I capable of? And it's that feeling of, if I can do that, then I can do anything. So I think that that's actually where I want to go next, because I know that you recently completed an insane endurance Misogi. And you mentioned a little before, but you ran 107.6 miles. So can you talk about, why did you sign up for that challenge? What was kind of the mission behind it? And what was the actual event day like for you?
Well, first, let's talk about what I couldn't do. 3+ years ago, I set out to run around White Bear Lake, Minnesota, 10 miles almost on the dot, 9.94. I said, hey, honey, I'm going to go out for a run. I'll see you in a little bit, right? I think it was 3.5 years ago. Don't quote me on the day.
Yeah.
Right. So I said, I'm going to go out for a run, babe. I'll see you in a little bit. Round, I would say mile 3-ish, somewhere around that ballpark. I quit and I walked back home. Right. And so I got to about 3-ish miles, somewhere around that ballpark, and I didn't make it. So I tried the next weekend, and I did finish with a lot of walks, runs. Do you want to know what I've done every single weekend since, Mario?
Tell me.
I've ran around White Bear Lake every single weekend, or at least a 10 miler every single weekend for 3+ years.
Oh, wow.
I've never missed a weekend ever. I had COVID, so I made it up, right? When I was really down and out, I was sick, you know, right? But I still stacked it to make sure that I completed or fulfilled that weekend's responsibility. But I've never, ever missed a weekend. And I just want to keep stacking that habit. I honestly hate the run part of it, like the physical run. Like I hate it, but I love what it does for me. I love the mindset of running. I love how it makes me feel. I love all things, but I don't actually like love tying the shoes and putting on the shorts and whatever. Like, I don't love that, but I love everything else about it, if that makes sense. But yeah, man. So got it all set, got it all ready to rock, put it on the calendar for May 27th, 2023, and said, I'm going to run 107.6 miles. And specifically for the 107,660 people that are no longer with us that overdosed from opiates in the last previous calendar year. So I wanted to make it a twofer, right? Number one was my Misogi personally. Number two was that there was a big why and passion behind why I'm doing this. And I think when you couple both together, I think back to the word I used before is unstoppable. And you started going and you're like, holy cow, this is tough. And that was my first big one. I did a practice run to try to get ready for it. I told you I made it some 40 some odd miles and stuff like that. I've done that before, but I never knew if I could actually get to, you know, the number. And, you know, when I signed up for it, I said, I'm either going to not be here or I'm going to finish the beast. And I ended up finishing. I'm really proud of that. And it's one of the biggest accomplishments that I've ever had in my life that makes me like whole. And what do I mean by makes me whole is nobody can ever take that away from me. Ever. Nobody can ever take away that from me, no matter what. And so when things get hard in my life, or, you know, I'm frustrated about something, or something doesn't work out well in business, or the kids are struggling through whatever, right? Like, it really takes you to this place of, what's the impact of this moment? Is it really that big? Where am I at on the 110 of, you know, the size of the problem versus my reaction of it? And can I continue to move forward? And I'm really proud of that, Mario. And it was the hardest thing I've ever had to do today. That's for sure.
That's amazing. I love hearing the backstory to not being able to complete that loop, to then using that to fuel you to consistently complete it every single weekend, put yourself in a position where you could be capable to complete 107.6 miles. And I know that an experience like that comes with so many powerful takeaways. Can you just share a few takeaways or a few lessons that stand out to you about completing 107.6 miles? And then also, how have you integrated those into your everyday life, or even applied those to your business?
That's a great question, Mario. Yeah, you're deep, man. I love this. I love this so much. Having this conversation with you, I could just go on forever. But the number one thing for me was, I really wanted to do this to feel what it was like, number one, to be alone for a while, right? You know, thinking about that 107.6 of, like, when you're struggling, what is that like? But there's two major big, I would call it, life-changing events that happened for me on three on that run. The first one was, you've done several long runs, Mario, and I admire and respect the living daylights out of your brother for what you're doing on your endurance runs. It's amazing.
Thank you.
But, you know, when you get to that first wave of your first hurt, right? Maybe it's a toe, maybe it's a leg, maybe it's calf, maybe it's whatever, you know, you start to feel that pain. And then there's a voice that comes with it in your head. And it's like, that every time you move a little bit, there's that little bit. And what I found was the amount of, I would call it, nerve communication from my head to the body of the pain point, right? And I gave that pain a big, big voice the first stretch of the race. And what I found was something would interrupt it. Right. So, for example, when I'm running at night, I think I told you this, Mario, I saw a fox come out and attack a smaller animal. And I immediately startled me. Right. And when it startled me, the adrenaline popped in and I shut down the pain like that. Like, wow. It was gone.
Yeah.
It was gone because you're startled with your adrenaline. And what I found is, holy cow, I am giving so much voice to this pain. I'm talking myself through it. That was number one. Number two was, there's this adage, you know, you want to go somewhere fast, you go alone. You want to go somewhere far, you go together. At mile 50 through 60, my two people that are really close to me, Alec DeWitz and Ethan Kavanaugh, they're some of our app developers that have built the Cadre platform, as well as my 9-year-old son ran a lap with me for those 10 miles.
Wow.
And to get to mile 50, let's call it about the half point mark, and those individuals join forces with you for those 10 miles, you immediately are rejuvenated and your bucket's full like that. You're like, oh my gosh, this is unbelievable. Like, the conversation, the communication, the connectivity, the laughing, the joy, the inspiration of just having those people with you. And all those things that you thought about for those first 50 are like gone.
Yes.
You know, they're gone.
It's crazy. I know exactly what you're talking about. You're not focused on how hard it is. You're just focused on the connection with the people that you love.
Bingo. And so there's two major life lessons I took from that. Number one is, do stuff that you love with people you love. You know, and again, I was so inspired by my 9-year-old that he did that. It was amazing.
That's insane.
Kept me going. That's number one. But number two is, how isolated, alone, and those individuals that are dealing with maybe substance abuse, mental health, all the things that are going in our life, depression, suicide, et cetera, of how isolated and alone people must feel. Mine only was 50 miles, but those individuals that are alone in their life, right? And they've been alone in their life for years and years and years, just how tough that might be for them, and how we as a society have to resonate to say, tell me more. Is there something I can help you with? Is there something that you need to discuss? You know, can I help you, man? Can we, you know, anything like that? I think those three words, maybe tell me more, or how can I support, might mean so much in somebody's life. Right. And I'd never forget that. And that'd be a major takeaway for me.
That's huge. And I think that that's almost like your mission with Cadre. Cadre is those people that helped you at mile 50 and helped you keep going and forget all of the struggles and the pain and just focus on the present moment and helping you get through and achieve your goal. So thank you for sharing those lessons, man. How have those changed the way that you show up almost on a daily basis or even carried over into your business? Is there anything that comes to mind?
For sure. When you're in the heat of it right now, which is, you know, starting your company and starting your business, I'm another meat grinder with Cadre, and I wouldn't have it any other way. I mean, starting a company is not easy. Starting a business is not easy. There's two things that you have to have as an entrepreneur. Like the number one is, you know, grit mindset, right? I'm just going to keep going, whatever. And number two is what can never be on the table is the word quit. If it's ever on the table, people choose it and choose it a lot, right? So what's really helped me, and I think I needed it more than ever, was just this perseverance, grit mindset, which I do have. And then this never quit attitude, but to live it, to live into it in a 107.6 mile race. Again, when you see where you are in your business and developing, establishing, it's like, we got this.
Yeah.
You know? And it just builds confidence. It builds character. It builds, you know, where you need to be in the toughest moments while you're building your company. And so it just, again, triple down on the mindset of, we're here now. This is exactly where we are. And this is exactly where we should be. And we're going to continue to go through it together and we'll figure it out. That's just what we do.
You had what I call an Endurify experience or an Endurify moment. So Endurify is my company and it's the word that I created. Endurance is the ability to continue or last. IFY is to make or to become. Mm-hmm. And you did such a hard thing that you became the type of person that is unstoppable. You're the type of person that can continue or last despite whatever stands in your way. And so when you become like that, that's just how you see anything that you experience on a daily basis, if that's your business challenges, if that's a physical challenge. And so I appreciate you sharing that with us and just excited to see how that carries over to a whole new level. And so I've just loved this conversation and I want to keep going for a long time, but can kind of start to wrap this up. And one question that I like to ask is, you know, we've talked about a lot of different things around leadership, mindset, grit, but what is just that one piece of advice that you would want to give somebody like me, athlete, an entrepreneur, to encourage them to continue or last despite whatever stands in their way?
This is exactly what you signed up for, right? So at the very baseline level, I have a 9-year-old, right? I have a 9-year-old that plays baseball. And this is a great life lesson for anybody. I have a 9-year-old that plays baseball, signed up for baseball, loved baseball at the beginning of the summer because his buddies and everybody were going to play. We're now coming to July and he has 2 more months of baseball.
Yeah.
And sweet Drew boy doesn't want to do baseball anymore. This is exactly what you signed up for. And there's no way you're going to quit. You're going to show up for your teammates. You're going to continue to show up every single night. Mom and dad will be there. You better believe it. We're going to be there and we will be at 9th grade baseball with you. And you're going to fulfill what you signed up for. When you sign up for something, you finish it. It's just the facts. And if you sign up for things and you quit, that becomes a mindset. That becomes something that people are capable of. And I am not going to allow my 9-year-old son to get out the easy way. You are going to finish it. You're going to show up for your teammates. You're going to be a part of this. You're going to be part of this. You're going to do all the things. And it's the same thing with your company. It's the same thing with my company. It's the same thing with living life. The divorce rate is 50% in our country because, you know, times get tough, right? I guarantee, yeah. Mario, you probably had a conflict with your wife over the last X amount of years. Mm-hmm. And the easy way out any day of the week is to say, you know what, honey, this is too tough. Let's go our separate ways. The hard part is to go through it together, is to have hard conversations, is to understand why maybe we miscommunication, is to figure out maybe why, you know, I resonate a certain way, or why did you? And, you know, to get to learn and figure out each other, right? My wife and I went through struggles. If I guarantee you talk to anybody that's been married 20, 30, 40, 50 years, they'll tell you they've had some tough times. But you signed up for this covenant together, and you're signing up for your business, and you're signing up forever. And so I really encourage people in all things life, finish what you start. And I think you're going to find that 1, 2, 3, 5, 7 years from now, you're going to be very rewarded for taking the tough, tough route and go through the challenges of life.
I love that you modeled that for your son. That's something that I'm sure he'll probably remember, and he'll look back on and just be like, thank you so much, Dad. Maybe he will, maybe he won't, but I think it's the right, that's the right thing. So thank you so much. Honestly, I'm taking away so many practical takeaways, but a lot of things that are going to stick with me in my heart for a long time. And so I just want to say thank you for taking the time and for coming on to share your story, share your mission, and share everything that you've learned. And so I know a lot of people are going to be inspired by this conversation, and they're going to want to follow you and follow Cadre. So what is the best way to follow you and stay connected with you outside of this?
Yeah. Number one, on Cadre wise, it's at We Cadre on all the social handles. From my personal brand page, I am on LinkedIn. So just search me, obviously, on LinkedIn, Luke Wendlandt, last name Wendlandt, Wendlandt. Love to connect with you all. And if there's anybody that you ever know that's struggling or something that we can help out with, please just look us up on the Cadre site at help@cadre.io. And we'll quickly expedite the help that's needed for those folks, so we can support anybody in any way, shape, or form to help them through their struggles or their journeys of life. That's why we're here.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Luke. And for anybody who is listening, like, definitely follow Luke on LinkedIn. He adds value every single day, telling stories about the struggles, the lessons that he's learning from leadership lessons and endurance challenges. And it's an extremely valuable use of your time. So follow Luke, follow Cadre. Luke, you're the man. Thanks so much.
Mario, thanks, man.